Mishnah is.
Well, we finished off, yeah, with the Rambam of Mishnah Vav.
Yeah, okay. So we finished Mishnah Vav?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's a little loud.
We discussed Nishba Levatel as a mitzvah.
Rabbi Khan, you could lower it
a little. The body. It's like got a bit of static. Thank you.
Thank you. Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay, so so we discussed Nishma Levatel as a mitzvah, and we discussed Nishma Lekayim as a mitzvah.
I don't think so.
With regard to Nishma Lekayim as a mitzvah, what does the Mishnah tell us about Nishba L'Kayim as a mitzvah?
Lo Kayam Pater.
Pater, but that's it.
No,
Rabbi.
Well,
no,
there's a
mach. Well, they have to say that. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra disagrees and says Chayev. And why did Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra say Chayev? Oh, we didn't do this?
No.
So why did Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra say Chayev?
He said, a kal v'chomer.
Yeah, he had a kal v'chomer. This is kal v'chomer. So let's look at his words. He says, "Man merushus she'ein on mushba olah lehar Sinai harayu chayev olah." Right, mitzvah shu mushba olah lehar Sinai ein adin she'ein chayev olah. Who can tell me what this means? For chayli, what does this mean?
If a person would be chayev for taking a shvuah on something which is a dvar reshut, then kal vachomer they should be chayav for taking a shvua on a mitzvah for which they were technically already mushva since Har Sinai.
Yeah, in other words, he's taking a shvua to do what the Torah wants him to do. The Torah wants him, to take a lulav on Sukkos. And he makes a shvua that I'm going to fulfill the mitzvah of lulav. So he feels that it's a kal vachomer that for sure the Torah should honor his shvua or accept the shvua. So that's what he said. So what did the chachamim say back to him? Amru lo, lo. They said to him, no, that your kal vachomer is not correct. That's what the law means. No, it's wrong. It's faulty. Who can tell me what the rationale, why they think it's wrong? What's the rationale that they give as to why they think it's wrong?
We got stuck on
that, okay. You got stuck? Okay.
It had to do with whether or not there was something negative in place, like a low tal say equally or something, but both for the Torah shoot and the Torah mitzvah, because of the love. No.
What love is there in the fits of Torah shoot and there's no love?
We didn't know.
No, you're not getting it right.
We didn't know.
Sorry, did you get it?
This is the one we were stuck on also. Because the bar to new, it doesn't really help.
Well, did you use Kahati?
Yeah, but she's looking at it.
Did you use Kahati? Should be the new.
Mm-hmm. I mean, use Kahati.
We always use.
Okay, use Kahati.
We even brought our own, so because there was not enough. Because in the beginning,
you get it on your phone.
Yes, it's not the same. Yes.
I know it's better than not having it.
Let's see what
okay.
It says.
Okay, so let's do this. So it says, well, Imam Ar Bishvuas Arishus, if you're going to say in the Shvuah of Rishus, Shekein Asafo Lav Kehain, that when it comes to a Rishus, the lav is like, now lav doesn't mean in here a lo sasev the Torah. The lav just means what?
Oh, like not fulfilling
in the negative. We'll see, just don't even go, just say in the negative, can hang that the negative is like the positive. Hang means yes, right? Lav means no, right? Hang and lav, that's like yes and no. You all know that hang
I know means hang means yes, but I didn't know, I thought it was like...
Not. So this is not referring to some, you know, mitzvahs of the Torah here. This is just talking about... So it says, in Rishus, the negative is like the positive. The no is like the yes. And you have to figure out what does that mean? The no is like the yes. A Kahati explains it. You have access now to a Kahati, look at it. Or what's wrong with anything? All right.
No, I had the app. Awesome.
Okay. So, do you know what it means, Sarah?
Which part?
Well, the part that would explain this.
שבין אם נשבע לעשות את זה ולא עשה ובין אם נשבע שלא לעשות את זה ואז הרי הוא חייב משום with, if I'm understanding this right, with a דבר רשוס like a if, sorry with a, in the case of a בשבועת רשוס.
Yes, what does רשוס mean?
Where the Torah doesn't prohibit it any, either way, it doesn't prohibit it. If let's say you take shebein im nishba lasot as hazavar velo aso, so if you take an oath to do something and you don't do it, or if you take an oath not to do something and you do it, in both cases you're over on your shua.
So what's lav kehen now? It's interpreting what lav kehen means.
The shua to the negative is equivalent to the shua
in
the
positive.
Meaning,
if
it's a shua,
both, like
it's shua not. If you take a shua not,
let's take an example.
If you break either one, you're chayav for breaking your shua.
But it's not so.
Whether you took a shua to do it or not to do it, if you break either shua,
you have the option. Let's say I could take a shua that I will eat bread today. I could also take the shvua that I will not eat bread today. Because eating bread today is totally optional. The Torah doesn't say anything about whether you should or should not eat bread today. The Torah has nothing to say about that. So this is all on the individual, on the person. So that's what it means, that lav is kehen. You can make the shvua in the negative, like to say, I will not eat bread today, that's the lav. And the hang would be, you can make a shvua that I will eat bread today. You always have the option, right? When it comes to a rishus of lav, kehen. Now, the viewership is, let's first finish the thought of the Chachamim. Let's keep reading the Mishnah. Tomar Bish, maybe someone else will get this. Tomar Bishvuas Mitzvah. You would say with a Shvua on a Mitzvah, Shalo Asa Bo Lav Kehen. Where you don't have the option of the Lav like the Hain. What does he mean by that? He explained a little bit. She nishba levato kolobito butter. Who knows what he means?
Because if you take an oath.
Give an example.
Okay, I were to take an oath not to eat matzah on the first day.
No, you're not going to get it. Because you're talking about levato. You just gave an example, levato.
Take an
oath. Are we discussing levato?
No, a man takes an oath to put on tefillin today.
Yeah. So what about that?
The choice isn't with him. Because it's
what?
To put it on or not to put it on.
Therefore what?
Therefore, if he puts it on, meaning it doesn't work in both directions.
Obviously you can not obey a mitzvah, like literally, physically.
but it just means that the din is not the same. It's like it's not the same weight given to the yes and the no in when it's a mitzvah.
How is it not given the same way?
Because there's an because there is already a mitzvah on that action that you have to do. So the hein of the lav is weightier on one side because of the mitzvah.
Kahati's not helping us.
What?
Kahati doesn't say.
He says,
I'm a miracle worker.
He says,
you gotta go so far.
I know he explains, but he doesn't say what. He says,
Ein dino shel halav kedino shel
halav. Yeah.
What does that mean?
That the din of not doing it is not
doing
the.
What?
Not putting on tefillin,
yeah,
is not the same as.
Yeah,
it was putting it on.
Because what's the halacha?
To put it on.
No.
Oh, the halacha with this kind of shvua is different than the shvua
butah. If I took a shvua not to put on tefillin, he's saying the shvua. If I took a shvua not to put on tefillin, is not the same thing as a shvua to put on tefillin.
Yeah.
Why is it not the same thing?
To the Rabbi Yehuda ben Tzira,
or the
rabbis.
This is the chacham. Because
if he took a shvua levatal velo bital, but the other way around, what?
Well, that's what he's arguing with him with. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bezerra thought that if you're nishba l'chayim esam mitzvah, you're chayiv.
Yeah.
Isn't that true?
Yeah.
The Chachamim are saying to him, you're wrong. Why? Because nishba l'chayim should be also potter. You understand what I'm saying to him when I say nishba l'chayim? I take, what's an example, I swear that I'll put on tefillin today. So that's, I'm taking a shvur l'kayim esam mitzvah. I want to be m'kayim the mitzvah of tefillin. I take a shvur that I'll put on tefillin today. So that's nishva l'kayim esam mitzvah. Right? Just make sure you get the terms. Nishva levato would be if I took a shvur that I will not put on tefillin today. So that's a shvur levato esam mitzvah, correct? Now, what did Rabbi Yehuda ben Bezerra, what did Rabbi Yehuda ben Bezerra say if I took a shvur to put on tefillin today?
If you don't, you're chayav.
If you don't, then you're chayav your shvua. So according to Yehuda ben Bezerra, nishba l'kayim esam mitzvah, the shvua is ha. Isn't that true? And he made a kal v'chomer, and his kal v'chomer was from what to what?
From
dvar rishus to dvar mitzvah. Isn't that what he did?
So
the chacham are saying to him, you're basing your kal v'chomer from where? What's the derivation of the kal v'chomer?
Dvarishus.
So the Chacham are saying to Yehuda ben Bezerra, but there's a big difference between Dvarishus and Dvar Mitzvah. Because Yehuda ben Bezerra is saying that I can learn out Dvar Mitzvah from Dvarishus. Isn't that true? Because that's what Yehuda ben Bezerra said, that if you're high for a Dvarishus, then you should also be high for a Dvar Mitzvah. So the Chacham are saying back to him, no, there's a big difference. That Dvar Rishus is qualitatively, conceptually different than a Dvar Mitzvah. How is a Dvar Rishus qualitatively different? Because in any Rishus, you could make the Shvua either way and the Shvua would be binding. But in a Dvar Rishus, I could say, I will put on my ring today, or I will not put on my ring today. Because putting on rings is optional. But when it comes to a Dvar Mitzvah, you don't have the option of, in terms of the Shvua, a Shvua that I will put on tefillin versus a Shvua that I will not. Because if I made a Shvua that I will not put on tefillin, that Shvua is not Chala. Because that's Nishba Levata Lasa Mitzvah, which is Potter. So there's a qualitative difference between Dvar Mitzvah and Dvar Rishus. And that's why the Chachamim say to him, you cannot learn out that Nishba L'Kayim should be Chayiv because Dvar Rishus is Chayiv. And a Dvar Rishus, you could have said the Shvua in the negative and it would have been binding. But in the Dvar Mitzvah, had you said the negative, what would be the negative?
I'm not going to put on tefillin.
Yeah, I take a Shvua not to. It's not Chal. Because we've already learned that Nishba L'Vatel is a mitzvah spotter. So therefore, your Shvua is faulty. So, oh, I don't know, did we, oh, is it clear now to you that Rabbi Yehuda ben Becer, I don't know if this was raised, this issue, is it clear to you that Rabbi Yehuda ben Becer, when he's only talking about Nishba Lakaye, what does Rabbi Yehuda ben Becer personally think about a person who is Nishba Levatel?
Also,
Potter, they agree. The only disagreement between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda ben Becer is about what case?
Nishba Lakaim.
Here you have this machlokas. So you see from the Chachamim that any shvua to be binding, it always has to have the potential. Who can finish my thought? For any shvua to be binding,
to be said in the negative,
and isn't that right? Now let me ask a very basic question: how did the Chachamim know that? How did the Chachamim know? That Lahara Olehetiv is only true for Devar Rishas. Isn't that so? That's a very clever, interpretation. It's very insightful in the Pasuk in the Torah, right? Okay, any questions on that? So now if you reread the Kahata, you'll see it's very easy. Let's move on. Mishnah Zayin.
Oh, wait. You said you had a different interpretation than Rambam.
Oh, the only thing was that... Not that I don't... see, the way... The Rambam that we did yesterday, the way he explained why Nishba Levato is a mitzvah, didn't we point out that there's one type of case of Levato that didn't seem to work if you just operate with the Rambam's definition about what's good, what's bad? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Like, what example would not seem to work?
Could you repeat the question? Was it when it was like you take a shvua not to sit in the sukkah? Not to eat in the sukkah? Because then both are negative.
Yeah, what if I took a shvua? Let's say the Nishba Levato was I take a shvua that I will not eat in the sukkah during sukkahs. I take a shvua that I will not. So that's Nishba Levato as a mitzvah, so you would think it should be putter. Now, what was the Rambam's logic that he gave why Nishba Levato was putter? Because where I understood it was that what's good is also bad. Remember there was the overlapping.
Mm-hmm.
So let's think of an example where you do see the overlapping. Let's say if I took a shvua not to eat chametz, he gave an example. What if a person takes a shvua? This is the Kahati's example. He takes a shvua that I'm going to eat the veiluk. Right? So that's Nishba Levato, right? Now, technically, eating is a good thing, but it's also bad. Why is it bad here? Because eating the veiluk is also to do. So then the good and the bad get, there's an overlap. therefore you need lahara lahetu, where if it's good, then it's only good, and bad is only bad, not bad is good and good is bad.
Is that not confusing? That bad is good and good is bad?
You see it or you don't see it?
I think that's a good answer.
So eating, we always thought eating is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But in this instance, the shvua to eat nevela is also bad for me, because I'll be violating the Torah if I keep my shvua. But on the other hand, so you could call it lehetiv, but at the same time, it's also lahara. And we want a situation where if it's lahetiv, then it's just lahetiv, and if it's lahara, then it's just lahara. Because the Torah said lahara o lahetiv, one or the other.
The result cannot be a combination.
I think that's what he's saying.
Couldn't one argue that every situation is a combination?
What?
That doesn't work in so many cases.
What do you call so many?
Well, for example, that you say, make a shvua not to eat in the sukkah.
So let's do that one. So I take a shvua that I will not eat in the sukkah. So there, not eating
is negative.
Is a negative that you're not going to eat. Let's say I said, I took a shvua that I'm not going to, well, I'm not going to eat. Are you saying you're fasting today, or you're saying you're not just going to eat in the sukkah, but you'll eat in the house?
I don't know, but not eating is, like, if we say eating is tov, and not eating is ra, so...
I know that, it's just that you're not saying I'm not going to eat today. That's what I meant.
It doesn't really matter.
If I say I'm not going to eat, then I'm not going to eat. When you say I'm not going to eat the sukkah, you're not saying you're not going to eat today. You're going to have three full meals.
Just not in the sukkah.
So where's the bad part?
That you're not in the mitzvah.
But not eating the sukkah sounds like, I don't know, neither good nor bad per se, if you just think in terms of health-wise. I'm not saying I'm not going to eat. It's like saying, I'm not going to eat in this room, but I'll eat in another room. Is that bad? I'm not going to eat in the classroom today. I'm not saying I'm not going to eat at all. I'm not going to fast. I'm just not going to eat in the classroom. I'm going to stuff myself, you know, in another room.
Oh, we knew from the Rig Wave you can't make this kind of sure.
Yeah, we know. So to me, it's more like something in terms of good or bad. Not in terms of halacha, not in terms of mitzvah, just in terms of eating versus not eating. You're not taking a shvua to fast. So maybe then it's not viewed as something bad. It's just sort of something neutral, but it's against the Torah. It's very tricky. So it's against the Torah. I don't know how to handle that case.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It doesn't seem to work with the Rambam's interpretation.
Yeah, I don't know how. So the other way of maybe just we from this next mishnah that we just did about love, and I mean it's very mishnah about love the hay. That every the question is, are we being circular? Every shvua has to have the possibility of lavahein. We just came to that conclusion. So let's say, can we use that idea to explain nishba levato, why nishba levato is potter? I'm afraid it's going to be circular. You know what I'm talking about? I want to know why, if you're nishba levato, is a mitzvah, why you're potter? I know the din is potter, but why? Well, if you're going to say because you need love the hain, but then that's presupposing that nishba l'kayim is potter. But how do you know nishba l'kayim is potter? That's only because nishba l'vato was potter. You know what I'm talking about? You understand what I'm saying?
Could one approach it based on the subsequent Mishnayot about a shvua, a bitui being followed by a shvua shav, and somehow trace it back.
Say that again, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Could we connect this in Mishnah Vav about nishva levatel to mitzvah v'lo bitel to the Mishnah in... Mishnah Tet, the statement in Mishnah Tet that harishonah shavua bitui...
What case was that?
Shavua she'ochal kikarzu, shavua she'lo ochalna.
Yeah.
Harishonah shavua bitui, v'ashniya shavua shav.
Yeah. And what's the... And the shniya is a shav, why?
Because it's meaningless since one already has a shavua in place to do the opposite, is the way we understand.
So isn't that really the second shavua is, in a sense, levatel as a mitzvah?
So that's...
But you can do... But there's another... There's an, if you take the one about... There's another mission about repeating the same shvuah.
Yeah, but that's different.
That would be lakai.
Yeah,
that's
so you can prove both from the mission. Yeah.
So...
Well, that mission is really based on these principles that have already been established. So if I took a shvuah first to eat this food, and then 5 minutes later I take a shvuah not to eat that very food. So if I've already taken a shvuah to eat it, so what am I now bound to do?
To eat
the bread. To eat that, say that loaf of bread. I'm bound to eat the loaf of bread. Okay. Then I took a shvuah, so I'm already bound. So there's a shvuah on me, which now the Torah accepts shvuah. The Torah gives credence to a person's swear. Okay. So now I'm sworn to eat this piece of bread. So then I come back 10 minutes later and I take a shvuah, then I won't eat the bread. So it's nishma levatel sa mitzvah, isn't it? Why is it any different than if we were sworn from Har Sinai, you know, not to eat nevela, and I take a shvuah not to eat nevela?
So I thought
I created my own iser shvuah, my own shvuah on this loaf of bread.
So I thought it would match up, but it doesn't, because here we're saying pater, whereas in Mishnah Tet we say it's a shvuah shav.
Well,
that
even here
pater,
too, you'll be your pater. Pater means from a korban.
So could we not say that?
It's exactly the same.
So what I was saying does make sense.
It's just that it doesn't answer it, because Mishnah Tet is based on the fact that nishma levatel was a mitzvah's pater.
The point
we're
is
trying to
we don't know
why you're pater.
So I'm working backwards, and we
can't
work logic backwards.
We don't have any logic. What is the rationale why you're pater?
Okay.
Once I accept the fact that you're pater, then the Mishnah tests, then that second Mishnah will be pater from Shavuot Zvi, till you'll be high for Shavuot Shav, because it ends up just being a wasted Shavuot.
So we're looking at the case of Shavuot Levatel
et HaMitzvah.
What
is the logic? What is the logic for it?
Can it simply be that you have no authority to make such a shavua?
Where do you see that? Who says I don't?
I'm saying I'm not.
I
don't see it anywhere here. But can we not say it as an external?
Why
like
not?
What's the word? When it comes from your own logic, there's a word that we have.
Svara.
Thank you. Misvara.
Yes. Yes.
Can't we just say like misvara that
What's
you can't be mevatel a mitzvah?
Why can't I? I'm talking about making a shavua. If a person eats nevela, he goes into a tray for a restaurant and eats nevela.
Mm-hmm.
He could do that. Okay, if he's ever caught, we have a person, he'll be punished.
But
he could do it.
Couldn't
you? Can't you?
Come at it from the whole
So why can't I take a shvuah that I'm going to eat nevela today?
Oh, maybe, because if you make a shvuah not to eat tray, okay, so you're making a shvuah levatel et HaMitzvah, if you say that it's a shvuah bitui, whatever you do, you then have to bring a korban.
No, you don't,
you,
not
you,
sure.
If you eat trays.
You're not high of a korban for eating trays.
Oh. Okay, well, something that you are high of a korban. It doesn't make a difference.
What? I'm still not understanding why we can't.
And also, it's a different korban. Even if you come up with, say, chaylev, you're high of a korban, mishogi, but you're not, it's not all of the yari.
It's ridiculous to make us or any situation that comes out. But why is that ridiculous?
Does it not make sense to use the argument misvara that you can't be mevatel?
What's the svara?
Because the point is, I feel like I mean, this is a very philosophical way to approach it, so I could understand why we would reject it.
No, I don't reject philosophy. I don't know what the svara is.
But I feel what you're saying about that you know one could choose to go into a treif restaurant and eat something treif, but this is a step before any action. This is a statement that holds halachic weight, but it's words. You haven't done anything usher.
That's right.
Inherently, I mean, aside from the shvuah piece, by saying I will eat treif, you have not transgressed the mitzvah of not eating treif. So why can't we come at it from the perspective of, like, you know, secretly there's that pencil of yid inside of you, and like makino to achom erotza, and like you're not maybe actually going to transgress the mitzvah. So why should we actually hold you to it until you actually do?
Yeah. Okay. Listen. Emotionally, we're all on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just to think about it, can you imagine if the shvua could take effect? He took a shvua that he's going to eat in the vela.
Yeah.
And he
it's
didn't
terrifying.
Eat in the vela.
Yeah.
Let's say it was the mason. So we're about to give the guy Malchus. Can you imagine? He's standing there waiting his turn to get Malchus. And people say, what'd you do to I didn't eat the vela. I give you a shlishi and shul. I mean, it's just so paradoxical. It's the most paradoxical thing. We're giving the guy Malchus for not eating the vela.
Maybe
so like, the whole thing sounds crazy.
But that
maybe it's
Maradayan.
I know, but I
maybe
feel
it's
that...
Maradayan.
Yeah.
Can't give people Malchus.
I mean, the Rambam's reasoning will help. It's just that we just have a case. It doesn't seem... I don't know how to work it out. If he's Mishpah Levatel... See, would this really be true for all mitzvahs, I say?
Meaning that he would be pater, or
that he has
the
law, or
logic.
Yeah.
What are we saying?
So maybe it's not a problem. The question is going to be, if I swear not to eat in the sukkah.
Implying that you're not
going to
eat
not to eat matzah at the Seder. I'm swearing I will not eat. I'm not swearing fasting. I'll eat everything else. I swear not to eat matzah. Is that called a bad thing?
No, because you might not be allowed to eat matzah.
Maybe.
I'm saying you might have health reasons.
No, I don't mean that. This case, I take a shua that I will not eat matzah. I could eat that. I'm just taking a shua. So isn't that a shua levatel or something?
Yes.
So,
yeah.
So...
maybe.
So then if I don't eat the matzah, so if I do eat the matzah,
you're fulfilling the mitzvah, but breaking your shvua.
No, breaking a shvua is not a bad thing. That's not one of the things he defines as ra. That's not how we judge the ra meitzi. It has to be included in the statement of the shvua.
He says, I will not eat matzah at the Seder. And then he goes and doesn't eat the matzah.
It's gone.
So, there's no, I mean, is it good or bad
here?
He ate
here? Food and he fulfilled the mitzvah.
I'll say if he did not eat the matzah.
Oh,
say,
he didn't.
If he didn't. So he said, I swear I'm not going to eat matzah. So how would you define that action, that statement as good or bad? I don't know.
It's good.
In terms of the statement itself, he's just saying, I'll eat my meats and I'll eat my vegetables, I'll eat the chicken and the meat and everything else, but I just won't eat matzah.
We struggled with this a little bit, and we discussed it a little bit today at the beginning of Seder, just how, if it's so subjective as to defining, and also situation dependent, defining what's positive and negative.
But even if we work with the assumption that eating is a good thing and not eating is a bad thing, but that's not eating at all. So that's what I understood. When the Mishnah said Shvur Sha'ochal or Lo Ochal, what did that mean? Lo Ochal bread, but I'll eat everything else? Or Lo Ochal?
I won't eat my spinach.
I won't eat my spinach? Is that what it means to that? Maybe called bad? I don't know. If I'm eating everything else, that will give me the same nutrients and vitamins.
Right, so then
says, what's bad about it? So, okay, so it's like neutral, okay? Instead of eating 10 different foods, I'll eat 9. What? So I don't know. I don't have it clear. All right, I want to move on because we're not going to. Let's just move on. So Mishnah Zion. Okay, there are just a couple of things to go over. Mishnah Zion. Who can tell me? what are the unwanted Mishnah saying?
If you repeat a phrase in a Shvua, you are only chayav for one thing.
For the first one,
or for just...
Is there anything else based on Kahati or whatever Mufarish you use that comes out of this Mishnah?
Yeah, like from the Kahati, he also brings up doing like the Hefech as a case, but I couldn't understand why for our case they use the logic of in Shvua Chal Shvua, but for the Hefech.
Okay, so let's go over the case exactly. So Sarah, tell me what the case is.
Ours or the Kahati case?
Well, first start with the Mishnah's case, and then we'll bring up the reverse case.
Okay, so the first shvua you make is that you're not going to eat at all. You're not going to eat.
Tell me the words.
Shvua shalalacham ki kaizim.
That's the first shvua. Second shvua.
Shvua shalalacham.
Yeah, bochlena.
Bochlena, sorry.
Third shvua. To make three.
Shvua shalalachlena.
So that's just a repeat. Okay. You notice the order. The first one is shalalacham, and the next two are shalalachlena. Do those words mean exactly the same thing? Kati explained it. Yes or no?
No.
If you didn't pick up on that, then you're missing on the major point of the Mishnah. They don't mean the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Sarah, could you tell me what Shalo Ochal means?
It includes even like a
kuzaya. So say it again. So when I take a shvua that I will not eat any part of this kikar. You have a loaf kikar, is a loaf of bread, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have this, imagine this big loaf of bread sitting right in front of you. And you're saying, Shlo ochal kikar zu, I'm not going to eat from this loaf of bread.
Mm-hmm.
And what defines eating?
Akazayas.
So Shlo ochal kikar, so let's rephrase, let's put it into our own simple words, what the man said. The man just said these words, but we're interpreting it, or just, expounding on what he's saying. So what did he say? He's saying, I will not eat a kazayas of this loaf of bread. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
No. What does shvua shalo ochlena mean? And also the second and third shvua are the same. Shalo och. How would you translate the word shalo ochlena?
The entire.
I will not eat it. What's the it?
The loaf.
If you're saying shalo ochlena, the kikar. That means I won't eat the whole thing. So according to the second shvua, not the first, the second, and second and third, what if I only ate half the loaf?
I'm asking you
to focus just on the second shvua.
No, sorry.
If you ate half a loaf, did you violate the second or third shvua? Not at all. So I could eat half the loaf. If you're just focusing on the second and third shvua, let's just talk about the second because the third is the same. If I ate 3/4 of the loaf, I did not violate my shvua at all.
Mm-hmm.
Because the shvua is, I won't eat the whole thing. But that means I can eat part of it. Now, of course, if you then look at the first shvua, what did the first shvua ochal, what does that mean?
I won't eat any
kezayis. Not even a kezayis. So if I ate one kezayis, I got this big loaf of bread that consists of 50... the size of 50 zeisim, and I eat one kezayis, according to the first shvua, I'm high right away. Even though most of the loaf is still remaining. Isn't that true?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, is the order, the way the Mishnah presented these, let's just first talk about the two shvua, because the third shvua is just the same thing as the second. So we don't even know why the Mishnah had to even mention that. We'll discuss that later. Let's just talk about the first and the second, because that's where there's a difference in what the Shvua means. Okay? Now, what does the Mishnah tell us the halacha is? Ein ochayev ela achas. Okay, what did the guy do? I'm sorry. What did he do?
He ate
the entire loaf of bread. That's the case. How many Shavuos did he violate?
One.
Says the Mishnah, only one. Which one? First one. Why only the first one? The Mishnah doesn't give you the rationale, it just tells you it's a shvua, speed, and so on. then the Kahati will explain it. So what's the rationale? Ein Shavua Chalal Shavua. Now, do you understand why the second Shavua is just repetitive? It's because the first Shavua is already in place, so the second Shavua is trying to create another Yisur Shavua on an already existing Yisur Shavua. You all understand why? Someone explain it to me. Sorry, can you explain why the second Shavua?
It's just adding on to the previous.
How is it adding
shura?
On?
Because it's adding on a greater amount. Like the previous shura, you
buy. So that's adding on a greater amount. So then this, so it's a new shura then.
Mm-hmm.
You're adding on to something that wasn't included in the first shura.
Or making that original kazayas usur again. Is it up? Like it's about that original kazayas. The first shavua says
is asuring a kazayas. The second shavua is asuring eating the whole loaf.
Correct.
So why shouldn't the second shavua take effect if you ate the whole loaf?
Because we now have an iser chal on the iser of that original kazayas.
Meaning, in other words, there is no way for this. Once I'm already prohibited against eating a kazayas. That's the first shavua. The first shavua aser the kazayas. How can this? So there is no way for the second shavua to take effect because the moment I eat, if I'm trying to create now through the second shavua, I want to now create an iser achila on the whole kikar. The problem is the moment I eat, take my first bite of the loaf, assuming that bite, let's say it's a kazayas. I take my first bite, I've already violated the first shavua. So there is no way that the second shavua could take effect
without
first violating the first shavua. Isn't that true?
But if the order.
So that's why the second shavua cannot take effect because. You can't have a situation where you're going to aser the entire kikar. Because what is it? You're trying to aser the whole kikar, but you're already aser the kazayas. So there's no way for that second shavua to take effect because you can't violate the second shavua without first violating the first one. You understand what I'm saying to you?
Mm-hmm.
Because in your attempt to eat the whole kazayas, the whole loaf of bread, you have to first eat the kazayas.
And
that's why the second shavua can't be chal when you have that first shavua because it's repetitive. Because in the second shavua, you have to first eat a kazayas before you can eat the whole thing. But what if you reverse the order?
Then they would both be valid.
What if the first shavua was shelo ochlenu, which means I will not eat the entire kikar? Now, according to that first shavua, when I eat the first kazayas, did I violate anything?
No.
If I had the first shavua only, shelo ochlenu.
No.
So now I can make a shavua on a kazayas. Nothing prohibited me from the first shavua to eat a kazayas of the loaf. So therefore, the first shavua was I won't eat the entire loaf. But according to the first shavua, am I permitted to eat a kazayas? Yeah. So I now take a second shavua that I won't eat a kazayas. So that would work. So what would happen if I did it in that order, in the reverse order, and I ate the whole loaf of bread? How many shavuos will I have violated?
Two.
But in the order, the way our Mishnah gave it to us, you only have one. So in a situation like this, it's just clever. It's not hard. You just have to work it out. You have to think it through. That's why Kahati was, use Kahati all the time. It's just easier, I'm not learning the Gemaras on this. I just want you to get it. It's not, so I don't mind what you use. Okay. Now, and the Mishnah strangely also gave us the third Shavua which is exactly the same thing as the second shvuah, right? Going back to the Mishnah. So Kahati, it's actually based on the Gemara, explains what's all this, like, why did they give us a third Mishnah? But we got the idea from the second Mishnah, right? I'm only doing it because I want you to know the concept that the Kahati mentions, which is just something important for us to know. Do you see where I am in the Kahati?
What's
the name? It's where it's in the, it's in the long piece.
The Eino Chayav Elachas piece?
Yes.
Where it's in the piece of but it's a long paragraph. So toward in the middle of it, where it says "Olama Nokta Hamishna Gam Shavua Shlishis," you see that?
Mm-hmm.
And just to read from there to the end of that piece. See what he's discussing.
I'm trying to be.
What concept?
Kind of, is this a neder? Hataras nedarim?
What?
Is it shvuah?
Yeah, the same thing.
Same concept.
Of hatara that applied to neder would apply to shvuah. What is this? Anybody know what he's been talking about?
I think he's saying that if. Like, if you go to, let's say you get rid of one of them, you don't get rid of...
Let's talk about this. Anybody know, if you take a nether...
A process?
How can you...
Three men.
Actually cancel out the nether?
You go to three men, and they have, like, a thing they set. They don't have to be Diana or anything, just any three men.
Yeah.
And they have, like, a thing that they... Like, is there a text that they maybe say?
That's not the main...
Oh.
And that's what we do before Rishon.
Oh. But I thought in general, if you want
to
go...
Yeah, but it's not automatic. If you go to a... Okay, so all they have to say is mutalach, mutalach.
Yeah.
But they just don't say it, stop. You have to, normally, you have to explain to the best in something before they would be, before they would be willing to release you from the neder or the shnur. Anybody know what that is?
By accident.
Well, you're on the right.
Like,
another word, not that you might, well, not that I use the word by accident.
If you had known the repercussions.
Exactly. So let's say, for example, let's say I took a neder, I don't know, or a neder or a shavua, to try out this extreme diet. You know, it's really, and I thought I could handle it. And I've been on it already for a few weeks, and it's making me sick. I just can't do it anymore. I come to a bez and I say, look, you know, I took this neder to keep this diet, but it's really difficult. And had I known, this is the important part, I say to the bez, had I known that it would be so difficult to keep it, I never would have made it in the first place. This is called this, I'm providing a rationalization and I'm giving to the bez a justification for them, if they accept what I'm saying, for them to release me from the nether. This is called this rationalization that I'm, the rationalization is what I say that had I known how hard it would be, I never would have done it. Right? This is called a Pesach.
How do you spell that?
It's spelled like Korban Pesach. Pei Tov Ches, like an opening. It's an opening in order to, for the best then, to then release you from the neder. And the best, and routinely, if Bezin hears this coming from me, then they'll say that the Bezim will say, Mutarloch, 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 and I am released from the Nether. It's amazing. Now, this release of the Nether, you have to know something about it. Let's say this diet Nether that I took it 6 months ago. And I'm dying away from it, and I go to the Bezim today. And they'll say to me today, Mutarloch, Mutarloch. So, am I just released from it today? What about for the past 6 months? So, when the Nether was in force.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's already in the past, but I can't change. Right? I mean, the Nether was still valid. So, the Nether was valid for 6 months, but it's not valid from this point going forward.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's what you would have thought. That's not the way it works.
Which meant that if...
What happens is, when they release me today, it is retroactively annulled from day one. 6 months ago, meaning that it's as if what? I never took it.
Which means that if, let's say you took, I don't know how netters work, but let's say you took a netter to work out every day with this diet, and you missed a day, so you'd be violating the netter. But
if you have a Pesach.
And if you have a Pesach and you do this, that avera of violating it kind of goes away.
It'll be canceled out. Now, why is this relevant? Now let's go back to the Mishnah.
Okay.
You know what Kahati is saying? What Kahati is saying is, it's the Gemara. It's not like he didn't make it. It's all in the Gemara. That the guy said three Shavuos. The last two are carbon copies of each other. So why would the Mishnah do that? And now, so the answer is, that third Shavua that he took, the same argument will be made for the second. The third, so would you say the third Shavua, it's possible that the third Shavua might eventually take effect?
If the first two are...
If let's say it's called being Shoel on your Neder or Shavua. Shoel, I'm asking. Why is it called? Because you're coming to the Bezit and asking them to release you. So if you are Shoel on your first and second Shavua, which is retroactive, it's a retroactive annulment, then what's going to happen then about that third Shavua? It'll take effect.
So you have to get all three annulled.
Yeah. So therefore, to say that the third Shavua is simply just forget about it, that it never has any impact down, that it could never have any impact down the road, is not true.
But it takes effect even though you already have a Shua.
It doesn't take effect.
Shouldn't it be like you said nothing? I feel like that's what it should be. If
you said nothing.
I took a Shua, not the third Shua, if it's not taken.
I won't eat the whole kikar.
Even though I already said I won't eat the whole kikar. Yeah. So
that Shua, now, today, that third Shua doesn't take effect. As a matter of fact, you'll be over for Shavua Shav.
Right.
But three months from now,
so
that Shavua might take effect.
Even though you're over for Shavua Shav, it still might take effect.
Later on, if you were Shoel, I would say the first two Shavuos. Good.
That's crazy.
Why is it crazy?
I don't know.
It's not crazy. It's just amazing.
That's, we probably mean the same thing.
So it's almost as though you think the third Shavuos, the whole string of Shavuos that you took, the last one, even though right now is nothing. So. So even though the last one, I just lost my train of thought. Oh, so even though right now the last one is not going to take effect, but it's sort of still hanging in the atmosphere somewhere, you know? And it might have a chance to take effect if down the road you're Shoel on all the previous Nidorim or Shavuos that you took.
So saying that even though it's a Shavuot Shav, it still has power as a Shavuot.
It might.
It could potentially.
It could become a Shavuot Spitoy. Which is just so interesting about this. Okay. So, also we'll resume on Tuesday. Enjoy your day off Monday.
Thank you.
Enjoy.
beginner.